Hello, you're listening to Michael's Office, a podcast which hosts my unfiltered, unscripted, and genuine thoughts about things going on in the entertainment world today. This week I bring on a new guest. His name is Quinn Phillipson. I've known him for a bit. He's a great guy, and I'm so glad that I brought him on for an episode. I think you guys are going to really enjoy him. We talk about a number of things this week, like his own podcast, films he's seen recently, and anything he's really excited for coming up soon, and more. So I hope you guys really enjoy, and please step into my office. And we are back with another episode of Michael's Office. It's been a while. It's been about a week. I'm so glad to be finally recording again. I got things all figured out with my guest. And something came up that I didn't expect to, but I am now finally glad to be back and recording my thoughts with a guest on the podcast. This is a new guest. He's a friend of mine. We've known each other for a little bit. I think he's very funny. He's really chill, and I love his reviews, which we'll get into later in the review. But the guest I have on today is Quinn Phillipson. Quinn, all right, tell us a little bit about yourself, Quinn.
Yeah, you know, there's not much to tell. I pretty much just live a chill life, don't really do too much besides watch movies, go to work, and drink some wine. That's pretty much the gist of me. You know, we'll try to talk about myself. We'll see if we can learn. Maybe I'll learn something about myself.
Ooh, that'd be interesting. Where do you work?
I work at a security company. I'm not a security guard. I bruise like a peach. I would be a horrible security guard. But I'm the communication operator. So I'm the guy that's in the office. If there's an emergency going on, I dispatch guards. So I'm like the little nerd tech guy in the corner that you see in those movies. That's me.
Okay, so are you all like security cams a lot or stuff like that? Are you like just have a radio and then you're just waiting for what to do and just hanging around work?
Yeah, or is yeah. I have is a radio. Good? Yeah, we don't have computers, so I can't see any cam. Well, sorry, we have computers, but we don't have like cameras or we can't really see what's going on. We get radioed in. I'm kind of like a glorified receptionist. I like take calls from people.
Nice. And is it like, when I think radio, for some reason, I think you have like one of those shoulder radios. Is it like a handheld walkie talkie? Is it like a big, like you can turn the knobs, adjust it radio, or is it just something completely different?
No, you're pretty much in the right ballpark. The ones that are attached to people, that's what the guards have. They walk around with the radio and they would speak into the ones attached to them to speak to me. And I got like the big box. I can like control the dial and choose who I need to speak with.
And I'm guessing sometimes do you have to constantly check or will you be like there'll be a sound to let you know, hey, this person's calling in or like calling in for security or something like that?
So everybody will do their own manual check-ins, but then if someone misses one, I get a little notification and then I have to check in with them because, okay, you know, if there's an emergency.
And that actually, I think, sparked. Is it like, do you hear everybody on the radio? Because I know some people's, when I worked, I didn't have a radio, but I listened. Usually people would have like different codes and like you could hear everybody talking on the radio. Okay.
Yeah, cool. No, I got my own code. And then I kind of listen to everyone else. I kind of turn it down a little bit until I hear my code. Then I turn it up. I don't really try to listen in on other conversations, but yeah.
Yeah, that's just not polite.
Doesn't involve me. I don't care.
How'd you get into movies? I'll ask you about your podcast way later, but how'd you get into movies? What was it, like family or is it like your own thing or was it?
Like three different phases of my movie going experience. I think the first film that really made me go, wow, that's a movie, because I would normally watch like Scooby-Doo on TV or SpongeBob. Yeah. I didn't really watch movies, but I remember going to a friend's house and they threw on Jurassic Park. And I remember watching it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is the most violent, intense adult film I've ever seen in my life. I didn't tell my parents I saw it because I didn't want them to get get me in trouble because I saw like blood and stuff. I was like, oh my God, I'm a rebel. I'm a badass. I'm going to do drugs afterwards. I thought, like, I really thought I became like, I thought I turned into an adult on that very night. So I watched Jurassic Park and it was amazing. It was the best moment of my life. I was on like an all-time high from that film. And then I've kind of dabbled in those kind of films around that period when I was a child, but it really changed in 2017 when I watched Get Out. I remember watching, going there with my buddies. We had no idea what we were going in for. I know him from his comedy skits, Jordan Peele. So I thought it was going to be like a funny film with like a bit of a thriller aspect, but I was blown away by the aspect of the film. I did not realize films could actually tell a story, like tell a moral, social story that connected to me in that way. Like, I really thought, holy shit, films actually can tell you something. It's not just dinosaurs ripping lambs apart. This is really cool. So that was like the big change for me. But the biggest phase, the moment where I went, I'm a movie lover, was due to the podcast. We started the podcast, and the very first week we were like, okay, we'll try to watch every big film that comes out to discuss it in the podcast to kind of be up to date. And so the very first week of me doing the podcast, the very first film that I saw and made me kind of just get into this horrible avalanche of I must watch every movie now and review it on Letterboxd and be a cinephile nerd. You wouldn't guess it, Michael, but the film that made me fall in love was Godzilla, King of the Monsters, baby.
Let's go! I'm happy that it was that one. Wait, do you like that? Do you at least like it? Because if people like it, then that's fine. That's I won't be, if you don't like it, I understand. But if you love it, or what exactly, what are your opinions on that? But then I'll let you continue.
That's exactly what made me realize, okay, I think I like film more than most people. It was that exact moment where I left the theater and everyone around me was like, that sucked. So many stupid characters, so much cutting. And I just stood there and I was like, I just saw Godzilla beat up a bunch of CGI monsters on the big screen. That was really cool. Like, I just, like, looking back on it, I don't think it's a great film, but I just was so excited watching it and I had so much fun. And it made me realize I like movies more than most people. I enjoy these films a lot. So that's kind of what made me love them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Personally, I agree. I don't think it's the best movie. I only rated it a 5 because I love Godzilla as a character. And for me, I've seen a bunch of old Godzilla movies. For me, it just felt like an homage to like the old, really cheesy, bad dialogue, awful, boring story, great monster fights of like the Showa era, which is from like the 50s to the late mid 70s or something like that. And I really enjoyed it for the aspect, but for in all, it's not the best film in the world, or it's not a great film. It's probably not even the best from 2019. It's probably on the lower ladder, but I have a personal spot for it in my heart. To be honest, I thought the film that would get you into it be like something I remember. We'll get into this also later. It would be like a film bro film, like a Fincher film or something that PTA did, or just some random film bro thing. I'll be like, man, this is, I want to get more into movies and stuff like that. But no, Godzilla King of the Monsters, I'm so happy. I think it wasn't that film that really got into it, but at the same year, that's exactly the same year I got into film. So, you know.
Yeah, 2019 definitely has a soft spot for me. That was the year that I really fell in love. It was the first time I followed the Oscars, the first time I saw more than maybe like 5 films from the year. Like, I was very, yeah, it really was the year to kick it off.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm going to move some topics around. So Letterboxd, you mentioned that earlier, like, so how do you encounter Letterboxd?
So there's a few YouTubers that I watch that discuss it. I remember the one person I mentioned a lot was Austin Burke. I listened to a few of his videos and he mentioned it, but I guess I thought it was for losers. I thought it was more of like a film geek thing, and I saw myself as cooler than that at the time. But it was actually my fiance Andrea. She was like, well, Quentin, have you heard of this thing called Letterboxd? And I was like, well, I heard people talk about it, but I don't know. And she's like, well, I just got it. It seems really fun. You should get it too. So I kind of got it because she was wanting us to both kind of start making reviews for films. And it within like a day, I was like hooked on it. I thought it was really fun and clean and easy to use. I'm a pretty dumb guy, so the easier to use, the better. So I enjoyed it.
That's I was laughing, like silently laughing through your impression of your fiance. I'm like, that's totally not what Andrea sounds like.
But... Oh, no, my impressions of everybody is like very over the top, just cartoon.
So through Letterboxd, what do you think, how do you think it's influenced you? Influenced you overall? We can get into the positive and negatives. I love talking about the positive and negatives of the app, because every app sort of has, especially this is like a social media app, it has its positive and negatives. Overall, what do you think Letterboxd has done for you? It could be positive, could be negative, could be a mix of both. But again, later I want to talk about the, like, accentuate both sides. But as of like basically an overview, what do you think Letterboxd has done for you?
There's definitely positives and negatives, but overall, I just think it's really made me love film even more. I don't know if I would still be this into it 2 years straight without Letterboxd. I think it makes it fun to think of fun, like in my opinion, I like to think of like fun quips or clever jokes or running gags that I like to do in my reviews. And it kind of makes the whole experience feel worthwhile. Like I keep trying to one-up myself in like the comedy department, or I try to at least engage myself more and more every time. I try to reply to comments more. I try to watch films that I think I would like more. So I think it makes me more focused on film.
What are the positives that come to mind when you use Letterboxd?
For sure. The biggest positive is it helps me find films that I wouldn't have found without the app. So The biggest example I can think of is every year, whenever new films come out, they're always number like in the top section of trending for Letterboxd. And so whenever I feel like I would have missed a lot of popular films or a lot of new films that I would have missed without the app. For example, Kajillionaire, which no one talks about it in my everyday life. There was no YouTube videos on it. There was no discussion threads that I'm in about this movie, but it was trending for a few days when it came out on Letterboxd, and it's now one of my top five films of 2020. Like, it makes me find niche films that I love that I wouldn't have even known about without it.
Yeah. Any other positives that come to mind when you're talking about the Letterboxd website or computer? I mean, app. Yes, there's a Letterboxd computer now. What is like your? What are the other some other positives that come to mind other than that major one, which I can definitely agree.
Yeah, the other one would obviously just be the community. I can't discuss movies with my mom. I think if I went up to her and I was like, hey, I just watched Kajillionaire, or hey, I just watched Parasite, she'd be like, what, a foreign film? I have to, no, I'm not reading. You know what you should watch, Quinn? A really cute film called 12 Years a Slave. That came out a decade ago. That was really good. Yeah, she would just know like the basics, which is fine. That's nothing wrong with that. But it's hard to really talk to people about stuff like that. Like, my friend group hates movies. I don't think any of my friends even watch them. And if they do, I bring them to the club. I think it's good at bringing people together. Like, I've made tons of friends through this app.
What are some of the negatives that come to your mind when it comes to using Letterboxd?
So, some negatives. I think the one that I did have trouble going through, and I still kind of struggle with, is you kind of get into that mindset when you're watching the movie. Oh, what's my joke going to be? Or what's my score going to be? You kind of get lost in the moment sometimes. I feel like lately I've kind of let that aside and I kind of just focus on the film, which is kind of the expense of my reviews. I have like 20 reviews in my notes here that I still need to write a review for because I didn't focus on the jokes at the time, but it's for the better. Yeah. I kind of appreciate the films a lot more now. And I think it also has to do with the pressure I get from films. I don't get it anymore, but at the time, if I watched a film that had a 4.4 on Letterboxd, I'd go, oh my gosh, people really like this film. If I give this a 3 out of 5, if I give this a low score, oh my God, people are going to be angry at me. I guess it wasn't that bad. You know what? I didn't love it, but it's good. Sure. All right. I'll give it a 4. Like, I'll feel pressure, but now I don't care. Oh, people like Persona and they gave that a 4.2. I thought it was crap. It's a 2. It's a 2 for me. Like, I don't let it pressure me anymore. It used to. Like, a year ago, I was kind of like, oh, I don't know. I don't want people to get angry at me for not liking a popular movie. But I think it's something you quickly get over. It's a phase.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you articulate your opinion enough, or well enough, I mean, people still, I haven't had that yet because I'm not too popular. But generally when I post something that is like a considered a hot take or not the, what the general consensus is, usually people are like, wow, hot take, or like, I didn't expect you to like have this much, or like, I don't know, like have like dislike this film this much. That's kind of shocking. It's usually, for me, it's met with a lot of like shock and like just surprise. But I think I'm not also not big enough, and I'm not surrounding my people, like I don't have people who follow me and comment on my reviews other than the people that I'm like friends with and actively interact with. So I haven't had that pressure to worry about it yet. But I can understand why you might, because sometimes you make jokes and they're met with not the most friendly responses when it comes to reviewing certain stuff, when it comes to your joke reviews, which we'll get into later. Also, what are some other like negatives that come with like Letterboxd? I think you mentioned, if you have any more, just feel free to say them, but if you don't, then we can just move on.
Yeah, I think those are that's the major one. I don't necessarily think of any others, but if I do, I'll bring it up, don't worry.
Cool. Before Letterboxd, let's get into that a little bit later. How would you describe your taste? That's such an odd question. And everybody who so far I've asked that question is like, oh, that's a really hard question. But it's like, generally, what do you like in films? Or like, what do you think will, like, what makes a film an enjoyable experience for you? Like, what does it have to have that makes it a movie enjoyable? Or basically, what is your taste? Basically, along those lines, even though that's such a broad term, it's hard to find for some people.
No, that's fair. I think my taste, I'm more of a chill guy. I don't really love the super intense films. So war isn't really the kind of genre I would go for right off the bat. Like maybe if people start recommending it a lot, I tend to go more towards the comedies, or I like dramas as well. You know, if it's like Parasite or something along those lines. But I think what they all have in common is I prefer a good screenplay. If it's got catchy lines, if it's got witty dialogue, if it's got fun characters that interact with each other, I love it. That's why I like the Coens, because I think their screenplays are amazing. I think my top 10 films, I think 7 of them won best screenplay for the Oscars. I know the Oscars don't mean much, but it is interesting that I do kind of strive towards the witty screenplays. I prefer those.
And before Letterboxd, what do you think your taste has changed because of it? Or like since then, or has your taste evolved or because of it, like Letterboxd? Or
I definitely think my taste has changed a little bit. I think I lean more towards the screenplay and smart dialogue over the comedy more so now. Like, I used to just watch comedies, and now I go more towards the screenplay-focused films. But I don't think it's changed too much. I still have, like, the same films as my favorite. Jurassic Park's still in, like, my top 25 of all time. Get Out still in my top 10. Like, some films that I've loved for the last few years before I got super into film, it's still up there. A Social Network is one of my favorites, and that's because 2010 and forward, I've been watching it at least once a year. So I kind of have the same films I love, but maybe that's just nostalgia. Who knows?
What would you what are some of your favorite films? I think you've already mentioned them, like Social Network and Get Out and Jurassic Park. What are some other films you really love?
Yeah, Social Network might be a weird take, but I think is the perfect film. I just think everything about it is perfect. Score, screenplay, acting, editing, directing, like everything about it is like the perfect film if I had to pick one. But my favorite film has to be Grand Budapest Hotel. It's the one that I'm always craving a rewatch the most. It's the one because I love to drink red wine, just with a glass of red wine. It just feels so relaxing and enjoyable. So I'm a huge fan of that. And then I also love Hitchcock and Coen. So I would say Fargo or No Country for Old Men or A Serious Man from Coen's, and then Rope and Dial In for Murder from Hitchcock. Those are also my top 10. So there's a lot that I like from that aspect.
Mm-hmm. Since you mentioned them, what are some of your favorite directors other than the Coens and Hitchcock? What are some other favorite directors that come to mind?
That's tough. Yeah, those are definitely the top two easily. I think by default, I would have to go with Fincher as well, because I have three of his films in my top 30. But a lot of the other ones I don't have too high. But those his three films, Social Network, which obviously I love, and then Fight Club and Gone Girl, I have as in my top 30. So Fincher would be up there. Man, I don't know if I have a fourth. Yeah, I think those are the three. I wish I could have a fourth so I could have a Mount Rushmore of favorite directors. But yeah, I think it's mainly the three.
Mm-hmm. And what draws you to their films? What draws you to their films? I know you mentioned Coens. You like their smart scripts, but other than that, what other things draw you to the Coens? Like, why are they your favorite? Other than the script.
Yeah, so aside from the script, it's the ensemble cast, which I think my two of my favorite PTA films is Magnolia and Boogie Nights, and that's because they're also ensemble casts. I love it when there's just tons of people. Like, I throw 20 people at me in one film, and just to see them all interact in different scenarios, and like some of them never even meet each other, and that's just how life is. Like, it feels very much like a slice of life. Like, okay, that person from Fargo never meets up with the killer. Like, all these characters, some of them interact, some of them meet up halfway through the film, some of them meet up in the final scene. Like, who knows? It's so chaotic and random, and that's just how life is. It's just fun and it's just natural. And so I really like that with the Coens. They do that a lot with their films, the whole ensemble casts, and I always love it.
Mm-hmm. What draws you to Hitchcock? What do you love about Hitchcock? I mean, it's Hitchcock, but other than that, like, what are your personal reasons as to why you love Hitchcock?
Yeah, for me, one of my favorite things about Hitchcock, is the dude's egotistical, so that's probably why as well. But the dude just experiments all the time. Like, he wants to be the first at everything, and I love that. He always took chances. Rope is the very first one-shot film ever made. And Hitchcock even said, yeah, it's crazy. And Hitchcock even said that he was embarrassed by Rope. He thought the one shot doesn't work in a film, and it was kind of a disaster in his mind. And I disagree. It's my favorite Hitchcock film, and I think it was a masterpiece that somebody was able to make a one shot film in the 40s, and it feels so flawless. It looks amazing. And it's because he was willing to take chances. Nobody would do a one shot film until Hitchcock did it. Then it became a really fun trend that I love. And then Hitchcock was the first one to show someone flush a toilet, and Psycho was the first one to have somebody murdered on screen or to show or to heavily imply that there was sex in Vertigo. Like, he did these risks that other films wouldn't do or couldn't do, but because he had that title, like, it's Hitchcock, he could get away with it. He could try to show sex on screen. Nobody else could. So I liked how Hitchcock took these big risks in film, and I thought almost all of them paid off. A Dial In for Murder isn't so much of a risk, but it's my second favorite screenplay of all time, and it is just fucking awesome. So yeah, that's my thoughts on Hitchcock. He's fucking awesome.
And then finally, your third is Fincher. What do you love about Fincher?
My favorite thing about Fincher is, see, everybody had their film bro phase when they were 10, 11, and 12. But as I've already said, I watched Jurassic Park, and then it went back to Scooby-Doo TV shows. Like, I didn't really watch films until 2 years ago. So my film bro phase, like my 11-year-old phase, is right now. I'm like the 12-year-old that's watching Fight Club, and I didn't know the twist to Fight Club until I saw it in December. I saw it 4 or 5 months ago, and I just found out about the twist. And my mind was blown when I saw it. And it's insane. And it was so cool. And that's what I love about Fincher, is he does these crazy twists at the end. That is very, you know, quote unquote film bro. Like, oh, he does these crazy twists. Kids love it. And I'm a kid at heart, and I freaking love it. Social Network doesn't have as much of a twist, but still the twist is that he could screw over his best friend. It is so epic. And then, you know, the Fight Club twist, I'm not going to spoil it to all of you 11-year-olds that haven't seen it yet. But my God, that twist blew me away. That was like the biggest shock I've ever had in my life. I literally lifted my arms. I started freaking out. I was like, whoa, what the fuck? That was awesome. And then Gone Girl, you know the twist to Gone Girl. Like, you know, Fincher's really good at making the twists. And I'm a sucker for it. It gets me hyped.
Since we're going to be talking about Fincher, what do you think of Mank? I mean, I liked it. I didn't think it was amazing. What are your opinions on it?
No, for sure. I like Mank. I really do. It's my sixth. I think it's number six for me for Fincher. So it's nothing outstanding. But I'm also a big fan of Citizen Kane. I actually watched that in university for a film study class. And even then I was like, wow, that is a pretty cool film. Like, I didn't fully understand it because I was like, you know, partly stupid. But even then, I was like, okay, how it set up the ending is so satisfying. And even at that moment, I could tell, yeah, this is just an incredible film. And once again, it goes back to screenplay. It's in my top 25. Is it? Definitely my top 30. It's in like the 20s for me for Citizen Kane. And just because I love the screenplay, it is a flawless screenplay. It's really well done. And sadly, Mank is like the opposite. Mank is visually amazing. The acting is great. The costumes, the production design, everything about it is amazing. I don't love the screenplay. And once again, I'm a big screenplay guy. So I thought parts of it were boring and parts of it felt unneeded. So the screenplay felt the weakest for me for Mank. And that was my biggest issue. But I do still like it. I think it's still in my top 20 of 2020. It's still a really great film. I'll probably watch it once every 10 years. Like, I don't know how often I'll see it.
So moving on to your reviews, and we're going to be going into that a little bit. So you have a tendency in your reviews, you tend to like make jokes or have these running gags. Where did that idea come from? Did you like, I don't want to do the basic thing of writing a review or making one joke, like a simple joke. What is your inspiration, or what gave you the idea to do these like very sometimes complicated, not complicated, layered jokes or running gags? What gave you the idea to do it?
For sure. So my main reason for doing more jokey reviews than serious reviews is just my lack of knowledge. I am still very new to film. That's why I'm doing the top 1000 lists to try and watch the best films ever. Cause I just want to educate myself. I just want to learn more about how movies are made. I'm very interested. I'm a newcomer to this passion of mine. And so When it comes to reviews, it's hard for me to write a serious review when there's going to be, no matter what, 30 other reviews on that film. They're going to be better. Like, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to analyze a film as well as this person, that person, and this other person. Like, they have been in film for years. They have this passion that they've had longer than me. They've analyzed films longer than me. So I just don't know how much I would be able to contribute, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I then looked at the joke reviews for films for the first few weeks. Because at the beginning, I didn't write joke reviews. Back when I had like 2 followers, I just wrote my thoughts on the films. But it was then I started to look at the joke reviews from other people. And I thought, man, that's not very funny. Like, I could definitely think of a funnier joke than that person. Or, oh, really? Like, I just thought maybe I could kind of be the funny guy on Letterboxd. Not take it seriously, because I never really do. And maybe that way more people would have fun and laugh with me. You know, it's just how I naturally am. I like to make fun of things and just have fun. So it felt more natural for me. When I was writing reviews seriously at the beginning, it was really boring. And like, it kind of felt like a chore to try and analyze a film like everyone else on Letterboxd. And I went, screw it. I'm my own kind of guy. I'll just do what I'm better at, which is being more relaxed and, you know, joking around with things than taking it so seriously. So I started to be me.
Mm-hmm. What are some of your favorites that you've done? Like any recent ones that come to mind, or what are ones that like stick out to your mind? Like, man, I'm really proud of the review. Like, I have a couple joke review. Like, I have a joke review that I'm really proud of. But what are some reviews that you're proud of and like that you've done? Like, that you're.
Yeah, definitely. My favorite joke reviews are either the ones where I think of a really funny format. So an example would be Memento. I just wrote that one recently. And the format was I took the last half of my review and I put it at the beginning, and I took the middle part and I kept it there. And then I took the first section and I put it at the end, like how Memento works. And it ended up making the joke really funny. So I was really proud of that one because it was a more clever layer joke. And I checked, I went through the top 100 reviews of Memento and no one else did that joke. And I thought that was a really good joke. So I was proud of that one. And there's a few like that. I can't really think of any more at the top of my head. That's the most recent. But ones where I kind of think more of the format and how that format fits the film as well. So I like those ones. And then the other ones I really like are the ones where I kind of share a personal anecdote about my own life. So for example, the Oliver and Company review, which no one has seen Oliver and Company, but you
know. I've seen Oliver and Company. I love that movie.
Yeah, no, it's a fun film. And then I just share like a funny story from my childhood. So just sharing moments of my own life, I find really fun and enjoyable. For example, also Dodgeball. I share the story of when I was a kid, because, you know, this is the extent of my childhood. Scooby-Doo shows, the Jurassic Park movie, and Dodgeball, right? Like, comedies from 2000s. That's Quentin, baby. That's all I watched. Anchorman, Dodgeball, you know it. And I loved Dodgeball as a kid. And so I shared the story on my review about how I would bring girls over from, like, I'd, like, be dating this girl. I'd be like, oh, hey, we've been dating for, like, an hour. You should come to my place. I'm going to show you the best film of all time. And I would bring these girls to my place and show them the movie Dodgeball, because I thought that was the best film ever made at the time. I thought it was so funny. Obviously, I thought Jurassic Park was better, but I thought this was like the funniest film ever. And I definitely thought it was the best perfect first date. I thought the first date, Dodgeball in my basement. Let's go, baby. This is like my 14-year-old mind. And I remember, I think I showed it to like 2 or 3 different girls, and it was my last date with all of them. They did not love the Dodgeball.
Oh, I think I commented on your review when you shared it to Andrea. I said, you're sleeping on the couch tonight. Or she said, you were sleeping on the couch tonight. I said, you couldn't dodge, duck, dip.
Yeah.
Or dodge, dip, duck, dive and dodge out of alimony.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't dodge, duck, dive, and dodge. You got it.
Yeah, and speaking of Andrea, do you mind telling us how you two met, and like what are some funny stories that you shared that you've like some funny moments that you've had while watching movies or something like, do you mind? Or if we don't, you could just give a short interview, a short overview, and then we just end it there and move on to the next thing.
Yeah, I can't think of any funny ones at the moment, like actual experience with the films. But yeah, we met here briefly. She came up to visit a friend, and then she was up here for a few days. I met her after I was like my floor of the residential area for the university was having a party, and she came up and was at the party for a bit. I met her there, and then met her the next day with some coffee. I really liked her. I thought she was really awesome, and it was kind of love at first sight. I thought she was really cute and really sweet. But then I found out she lived in the States. That was a bit of a twist. But so she went down there, but we still kind of kept talks going online, and we just eventually started dating. She eventually moved up here, and the rest is history. So yeah, that's pretty much how we started dating. And then reviews, yeah, we pretty much watch every movie together now, unless it's like the Saw movies or something really bad, and then I watch that without her. But pretty much we watch every movie. The most recent funny example was just because it just happened today. She texted me and she was like, all right, Quentin, I need to do a review on Pulp Fiction. And I was like, okay, yeah, cool, yeah. Yeah, we just watched that a few days ago. Yeah, oh, so what are you thinking? She's like, I need help remembering, Quentin. What was the last thing that happened in the movie? I don't remember. Was it the guy getting fucked in the ass? And I was like, whoa. I was like, no, it was Sam Jackson in the diner with like the people that were trying to rob the place. She's like, oh yes, yes, that's right. And I was like, I like how you just remember the one guy getting fucked in the ass. And that was it. That was the whole movie for her. Just that one scene.
I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but I know something's going to happen, and I can understand why that stick out. I can understand why that stick out.
To be fair, it is the most scarring scene. You're kind of like, whoa, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. So also, I noticed that you invited your little brother onto Letterboxd, Hayden. And his takes are really interesting. And so how'd you introduce him to Letterboxd, and what are your opinion on his takes?
Yeah, honestly, I didn't even introduce him to Letterboxd. It was a shock to me as well. I was just telling him that I'm into movies and I have a Letterboxd account. And then a few weeks later, he was just like, hey, I'm really into movies now too. I've been watching a bunch of them. What's your Letterboxd account? I'll add you. And I was like, what's it like? He lives on the other side of Canada. I haven't seen my brother in about 2 years. And yeah, he just randomly messaged me one day. He was like, hey, I also have a Letterboxd account now. Add me, bro. Like, I now review movies. Like, oh, okay. Like, he told me he was doing it. I had no idea. But yeah, his takes are really hot. I'm a big fan of Fight Club. I recommended that to him, and he didn't like it so much. And then he has other wilder opinions. Yeah, he's got some hot takes. I appreciate it, honestly. I used to be afraid to like do hot takes, but right off the bat, he's just throwing out these hot takes. He doesn't care. And I remember your last guest, Austin, when Austin was on your guys' podcast. What I was going to say was, I know Austin, your guest from last podcast, I was telling Hayden that, hey, cool fact about Austin, he likes a lot of older movies, as you guys discussed. He has a lot of favorites that are definitely older, but I was telling Hayden, Austin's more of a fan of like the older movies. He doesn't really watch the new movies that you like to watch. And my brother's first reaction was, wait, he's never seen Grown Ups? That was like the biggest shock to him in his life, that someone couldn't have seen Grown Ups. Like, Grown Ups is to my brother like Dodgeball was to me. It's like, in his mind, the funniest film ever, one of the best films of all time. So yeah, it's really funny how I can kind of watch his progress. And yeah, he was blown away that somebody hasn't seen Grown Ups. So Austin, if you're listening, you better watch it.
I also haven't seen Grown Ups, so maybe Austin and I could do like a watch party and watch it together, or like.
Yeah, definitely. I'll watch that with you guys. I haven't seen it in a while, to be honest.
I wouldn't. That'd be really fun if like Austin and you and I got together for a watch party to watch Grown Ups. I think that'd be a really interesting experience. And while we're on the topic of the funniest comedies ever, What do you, in your opinion, have you, do you still think Dodgeball is one of the funniest comedies ever, if not the funniest comedy ever? Or do you think there's another comedy that you're like have a, that you think is the best comedy? I mean, this is a really a subjective thing because it all depends on what your type of humor is, but has your opinions changed?
Yeah, my taste has definitely changed, especially when it comes to comedy. I definitely think Superbad is great. I think Big Lebowski is great. And for a good few months, I thought that was the funniest film. But no, it is another comedy from my childhood. I watched this as a kid. I don't know what I was thinking, because clearly it was superior to Dodgeball. And that's Emperor's New Groove. I think that's the funniest film ever. I grew up with it, and I didn't even like it as a kid. I thought it was whatever. And now that I'm an adult, I don't know why. But now I love it. Now I quote it all the time. It's a really short film, and Andrew loves it as well. So we throw it on maybe once every 2 weeks. It's a blast. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, my favorite comedy, I've seen Emperor's New Groove, and I had it for a 5 for such a long time, and I think I lowered it down to a 4.5 because it was like, I need to get rid of my 5s. It needs to be... I can't have too many 5s, but I think I'm going to rewatch it. I might give it a 5 on bottom rewatch.
Okay, 4.5 is respectable. I respect a 4.5.
Yeah, it's so funny. Emperor's New Groove is so funny. I'm so sad that it hasn't gotten a lot of followers. I think it's like the best post-Renaissance. I think it's the best post-Renaissance Disney film.
I think it's the best overall, but that's just because I think it's so funny. On paper, I agree. I still think, aside from the Renaissance, it's definitely the best.
Going back, I think my favorite comedy, and I think it's the best comedy, is Thank You for Smoking. I love that film absolutely to death. Have you seen Thank You for Smoking?
No, I don't think I've even heard of it. I'll look it up right now.
It's got Aaron Eckhart in his career best, and he's he plays this representative tobacco. He's like the representative. He's like the face of big tobacco, and his job is to defend and sell tobacco to people. And he's a great, he's a fast talking, corrupted representative, and technically, he gets into like debates all the time, and he, what he does is he tries to sell people on tobacco, but he does it in the funniest way possible. It's super dark, it's completely shocking because in like the first few minutes, it's like edited in a really way. It's directed by Jason Reinhart, I gotta look it up. Jason
Reitman. I just looked it up.
Who did Juno and some other things. So it's got that distinct editing style. And in the first scene, it's him, there's narration, and I think the narration goes, everybody has a talent. Michael Jordan does basketball. Tiger Woods does golf. I talk. And it's like during this narration, you see all these titles over people, and it's like, Oprah Winfrey, parent, and then it's like cancer boy, and then me. And he basically he talks his way out of situations. And as he's doing it, he's convincing you. He's convincing you as well. And he's making you care for him when he's openly admitting how awful tobacco is. And there's literally this scene where it's like with, I can't remember, it's like two people, but they're called the Mob of Death, where they're all competing to try to get the most people to die every year. And it's really clever, and I love it. I was just floored when I saw it. I'm like, this is such an excellent comedy. I'm so sad that nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, no, I have seen the poster before, so I do kind of recognize it now, but I just threw it on my watch list. It's on a streaming service, so I'm definitely checking it out now.
Oh, it's so funny. There's a couple scenes, like one scene in particular. Actually, no, I won't say the line. There's this really funny line when he's defending himself in court that William H. Macy says, and it's near the end. But another one is there's a really awesome scene about how he argues, and it's I just love the script in that one too.
Oh, I like William H. Macy too. That's good.
Yeah, he's like the main he's like the bad guy in this, and he's really funny in it too. I also noticed that you have a podcast of your own. What is that podcast called?
Yeah, the podcast is called Pop Topic, and it's pretty much just me and my brother just talking about movies. Not the brother that's on Letterboxd, but the other one. There's a whole army of us, Phillipsons. But yeah.
And you just talk about films and stuff. Is that exactly what all you do? Do you do anything else? Or
so we have a weekly podcast where we just discuss trending news, which tends to just be trending movie news / you know, viral videos or crazy moments that are happening in our lives. And then I have a bi-weekly podcast with my fiance where we just discuss Oscar films and all the nominations. So we go through each year and all the Best Picture nominations. We watch all the Best Picture nominees. And then at the end, we do our own ceremony where we crown what should have won the Oscar. We have not agreed with the Academy yet on what should have won each year, but we'll get to one of those years. I'm sure we'll find one. And then once a month, we do like a ranked podcast. So we rank a different franchise. This October, we're ranking the Halloween movies. We're just doing fun rankings.
What is your ranking for the Oscars this year? Like the Oscar, the Best Picture nominees. What is your ranking, by the way?
For 2020?
For 2020, yeah, the 2020 Oscars. What is your ranking?
For sure. Here, I'll pull up all the movies because it's been a few weeks, or it's been like a month now, man. I kind of blocked it out, but I definitely have at number one, I have Promising Young Woman. Man, I know a lot of people have kind of moved on from it, and now it's kind of like, now you're kind of a loser for liking it, but I'm always a loser, so that doesn't change anything for me. I love it. It's such a great film. Second for me is Sound of Metal. Those are definitely my top two. I love both of them. Sound of Metal, I think about that ending every now and then. That ending was great. It was one of the most recent films to actually make me reflect on life. Like, I remember specifically when that film was over, Andrea fell asleep right away. She didn't really think much of it, but I just stayed up for like 30 minutes and I was just like absorbing all the noises around me. Like the cars driving by, the bug in my room. Like I was listening to every sound, appreciating it. Like it was a film that I don't really appreciate as much. It's just one that grew on me a lot. I really love it. Nomadland is number three. I still love that film. It's great. And then I would have Judas and the Black Messiah at number four. Number five would be Minari. Number six would be Mank. Number seven would be The Father. And then number eight would be Trial of the Chicago 7. So that would be the ranking. They're all great, though. I think my lowest is a 4 out of 5. Like, even Trial, I gave like an 8 out of 10, I guess.
Gotcha. My list varies heavily from yours. I mean, there are some similarities. Nomadland being in front of Judas and the Black Messiah is the same one. For me, it goes from eighth to first. It goes Mank. Mank's like my least favorite of the award season. Then I have Sound of Metal at seventh place. These are all 4.5s and above, so don't be.
Oh, wow. Like, oh, yeah, no, that's fine with me then, 4.5.
Yeah, and then I have Trial before that, and then I have Promising Young Woman before that. I have Minari, Judas and the Black Messiah, and Nomadland at number two, and then The Father at number one. I think I'm of the opinion that I think Nomadland is the best film of the year, but it's not my favorite. What would you say is, or are you of the same opinion? Do you think a film's like better than Nomadland, or do you think?
No, I disagree with that take of yours. I remember I was listening to you, and I believe it was Jack that had the conversation about the Oscars, and you said that you thought Nomadland was the best film, but not your favorite. And Jack seemed to kind of get confused as to what the difference was. But I was listening, and I actually agree with you. That was me with 2019. I have Parasite at number two, and I have Jojo Rabbit at number one. And I've come out to say that Parasite is the best film of the year. But personally, I emotionally connected and fell in love with Jojo Rabbit. So there's definitely a difference. And I agree with you that you can look at a film and go, yeah, that's the best of the year. Like, that is the best made great film. I love it. But you always have a personal connection that kind of extends beyond the film, and that kind of changes up your ranking. So I agree with that.
Yeah, and I'm of the same opinion. You don't like my number one pick from 2019, but my I do think Parasite's the best film of the year, but it's not my favorite. The Lighthouse is. But I just remember seeing those so like close together. I watched The Lighthouse at the end of October, and then I watched Parasite on my birthday. I also watched Ford v Ferrari on my birthday. I had a good birthday. I had a real good birthday.
Yeah, can't argue with that.
So how did you decide to, going back to your podcast, how did you decide to do a podcast?
So before Pop Topic, I had another podcast where it was a Friends discussion podcast where we like discussed each episode of the show Friends. And we made it pretty far, but I did kind of get a little bored of discussing Friends, mostly because it was more of like a fade. I was into the show. I still like it, but I was really into it for like 6 months. And then I kind of, you know, when I was doing the podcast and I was doing an analysis of each episode, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I like the show, but you can't really analyze the episodes because like the episodes aren't that deep. It's just like a few random jokes and that's it. Like, they don't have much depth. There's not much to talk about. I kind of started feeling like we just sat down, we're talking about, oh yeah, I liked that joke. Yep, that was a joke. And that was the podcast. It kind of started feeling a little less interesting in my mind. Mm-hmm. So I still love doing podcasts and I wanted to branch off and do a different topic. And so it kind of ended up becoming, let's just talk about whatever. Let's just discuss whatever. The first 20 episodes of the podcast wasn't movie focused. It was, we're like a news network that makes jokes because I like making jokes. We already discussed that with Letterboxd, but it's a news source where we just make jokes. We were doing sports stories. We were doing TV shows. We were doing celebrity watch. Like, we did everything at the beginning. And then we kind of start, we dropped sports first and then the celebrities because we realized we didn't really give a crap about celebrities. And then it kind of just became a movie focused podcast where we just discuss movie news, movie rankings, Oscars. So it kind of just became one source. It's still called Pop Topic. So it's still about popular topic. That's the name of it. But mm-hmm. it's pretty much just movies at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of movies, which is a thing, I want to talk about like what you've recently watched. I've noticed you've been watching the Saw movies, and how has that been? I'm only brave enough to watch the first one because I'm not a huge fan of gore. I hear the first one's really good. But what are so far your opinion on the Saw movies?
I'm just trying to get everybody to hate me because everyone and their mother thinks the second one's the second best, and it's not. I strongly dislike, almost on the verge of hate, the second one. I don't even want to talk about it. It pisses me off. I stay up at night thinking about how annoying that movie is, but I really like the first one. The first one's, honestly, watching the other ones make me like the first one even more. Like, I think I gave it a 3.5. I'm almost thinking of bumping it to a 4 at this point. Like, I'm starting to really appreciate, hey, you know what? It's kind of hard to make a good movie with this, you know, content. Like, they got gold with that one because the rest of them aren't that great. But it is at the point where it's just fun, stupid at this point. The second one sucks. But then the third one is interesting. And then after that, it just starts getting wacky and dumb and whatever. The logic is thrown out the window. And those are the kind of movies I like. I like logic thrown out the window. You can just relax and have a good time. I like serious movies as well. I just watched The Shining. It was my second time watching it. But the first time I really appreciated it. I watched that a few days ago. So it's literally really great, like really great pop culture movie icon and Saw in between. Like, I kind of go back and forth.
Mm-hmm. I also saw you saw Army of the Dead recently. I really enjoyed that. I had a fun time, but I also was going on a Snyder binge and prepared. So I like Snyder, but it was just What are your problems with Army of the Dead, and what did you like? Well, what did you like about it? What didn't you like about it?
For sure. Yeah, we could definitely talk about Army of the Dead because I try to watch new movies if I can, if I'm interested. I didn't watch The Woman in the Window or whatever it's called. I don't care.
You don't need to watch that.
Yeah. She looks out a window. Guess what? I can look out a window if I want to and save myself 2 hours. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. I never saw that. But you know what I can't do in real life? I can't kill a bunch of zombies in Vegas. So I was going to watch that. And it's good. My biggest issue with Snyder, and I'll say this every freaking time, the dude needs to cut an hour every time. Like, a zombie movie that's 2.5 hours, it's a zombie movie. Like, Zombieland is 1.5 hours. Perfect. Shaun of the Dead is 1.5 hours, I think. Maybe. Perfect.
I think. I thought it was like 2 hours. Maybe. Let me check. Shaun of the Dead. I think it's like, it's probably like 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
To be honest. It is. It's 99 minutes. So it's like 1 hour. It's about 1.5 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. That's perfect. 1.5 hours is the perfect length for a zombie film because it's just zombies. You just kill them for a few scenes. That's it. So that's my biggest issue. His films are always so long, but you know, aside from the length, I had a good time. I thought it was chill. I was watching it and you know, it's a perfect film. I can just like check my phone in between, check if I'm making any money on stocks or something in between zombies killing each other. It's fun. I had a good time.
Yeah. I think you like the zombie tiger. I could see you expressed it in your review. You like the zombie tiger when it appeared.
Yeah. Yeah. For the limited time it was on screen, I was hyped for the zombie tiger.
To be honest, from the trailers, it made it look like they were going to fight the zombie tiger.
That's what I was saying. I thought they were going to fight the tiger. Yeah, see, you can get me all riled up with these movies. Let me tell you, the trailer made it look like it was going to be a bunch of humans fighting zombie tigers. Come on, bro. That would have been awesome. That's what you want, especially 2.5 hours. You couldn't give me 10 minutes of them fighting a tiger. No, it was a tiger, took a nap for a bit. I should have took a nap instead of watching the movie, but, you know, it's fine.
I mean, at least we got a Revenant-style kill with...
Yeah, it was cool. I'm not going to lie. The zombie tiger was cool. I just need more of it.
Mm-hmm. That is Zack Snyder's thing. He, like, has something cool in concept, and then he, like, doesn't really apply it well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he has a cool concept, and then he just focuses on the less cool stuff.
Yeah. Focusing on the positives, what's a recent movie you watched that you really, really liked? I saw you watched Paris, Texas, and Memento, and Train to Busan, and Galaxy Quest. I'm surprised that you gave it a 3.5. I expected like a 4 or something like that. So other than Army of the Dead, I see you noticed watch some pretty cool films. What are your opinions on those?
Yeah, so Galaxy Quest was more of just a surprise. Like, I thought it was going to be like a 2 for me. Like, I was not excited to watch it. I had to for a podcast that's coming up soon. That's the only reason why I watched it. But it was one of the more pleasant surprises for me. I did have a good time with it. I gave it a 3.5. And yeah, that's about right. I still thought parts of it were dumb. And I didn't love the alien outfits. Like, it looked very cartoonish and dumb. But obviously, that's the point. So it's not a critique of mine, but you know, it's just hard for me to really love space movies because I don't really emotionally connect to space movies. But for what it was, I was very impressed with it. I thought the ending, have you seen Galaxy Quest?
I've seen it. I haven't seen it for a while. So I just didn't rate it because I didn't know what to rate it in a while.
Yeah, I thought the ending was really good. I didn't cry or anything, but I did get like very touched. I thought the ending of Sam Rockwell's character, I won't say it, but for those that haven't seen the film, I recommend it. I thought it was a very cute film. I had a good time with it. Good films that I've seen recently. I just watched Francis Ha recently, and I really liked it. It was a really sweet film. It was beautiful. I don't even love Baumbach, but he struck gold with this one. This one was a really fun film. I love black and white movies. They're just gorgeous. So I really liked it. That was the movie where I was just so blown away by how beautiful it looked in black and white that I messaged the group chat and I was like, you know what? I like black and white movies more than colored. And everyone in our chat was like, what a fucking loser. You like black and white? Nerd. Yeah.
So. Yeah. I remember saying, what? And then I sent the GIF or GIF or whatever. Boo this man!
Yeah, boo. Exactly. I got a bit of hate there. That's how I am. I feel something in the moment and then I just send it right away. I don't even believe it. That's just how I feel in the moment. And then, you know, it becomes a hot take. I send a lot of hot takes without meaning to. But yeah, that was one of them.
Yeah. And are there any upcoming, like this will be the final thing, unless you want to talk about something else. Are there any upcoming films or projects or like TV series or video games or anything, any upcoming projects that you're really excited for?
That is a good question. Not at the moment. We are just about to record the Movie Madness podcast where every June, the first week of June. So we'll be doing this in about 2 weeks. We, take four well-known actors or actresses, throw them into different regions for a bracket. And it's like March Madness, but in June, it becomes Movie Madness. And it's a bracket style where four of us live are going to argue about which film from which actor is better. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be a long podcast because we're going to be fighting. But I'm excited. I like fighting. So it should be interesting. That's Galaxy Quest is one of the movies for this bracket. So that's why we watched it. And a lot of my upcoming reviews are going to be movies for the podcast, for that podcast, because I've been watching a lot of them. And then this isn't even soon, but I always just get hyped thinking about the end of the year movie ranking where we rank all the movies of the year. Godzilla v. Kong, baby, is going to be in this one. So I just get excited. Yeah. Oh, man. I'm here for it. I'll defend my boys. But yeah. You know, just projects like that. That one's not even soon. That's going to be in January.
I'm just going to pull out a bunch of films that are like that are popular on Letterboxd that are coming out. I'm going to ask if you're really excited for it. So I'm going to. I'm almost there. Let me get. I'm almost there. Let me find two more. There's one more. Let me find one more big one. There we go. I think I found it. So, first one up is Respect. It's the new biopic involving Aretha Franklin, where Jay Hutt is probably gonna get an Oscar nomination. Are you excited or not excited?
Respect. I can't even say if I'm excited or not. I don't even think I've actually heard of this movie. When's it coming out?
What did you say?
When's it coming out?
December, I think.
Oh, okay, so very late. Okay. Yeah, no, I haven't really heard much of it, but you know me. If it's trending for a day or two on Letterboxd, I definitely am more inclined to go check it out. So who's in it?
Jennifer Hudson. Let me find... Her. She's playing Aretha Franklin, if I can find it. Forest Whitaker's in it. Marlon Wayans. Arjun McDonald. Hello. Mary J. Blige. Mark Maron. Titus Burgess. Yeah, those are like the main big players that are in it.
Yeah, so I'm not necessarily excited because I haven't heard anything of it. But I will tell you, if my fiance has heard of this movie, she's going to want to recommend it. She loves biopics, so she would definitely be recommending this one for a watch.
Another one is Spencer, directed by Pablo Rain, who did Jackie. It's got Kristen Stewart playing Princess Di. Are you excited for it?
Yeah. For a second, I was like, I forgot what the title of it was. Yes, the Princess Diane movie. I am excited. I saw photos of it. I think Kristen's a pretty underrated actress, and I am excited to see a performance like this. So I am pretty excited, actually. Probably be in like my top 20 for hype for the year. I'm excited.
Are you excited for the Bond film to hopefully finally come out, No Time to Die, with
Daniel Craig? I'm not a big Bond guy. It's similar to Saw. I'm trying to slowly binge through the whole series to lead up to No Time to Die. I'm watching all the Saws so I can watch Spiral. And then I'm watching all, like, there's like probably like 60 James Bond movies. Not really. There's like 23. But I'm trying to watch all the Bond movies so then I can watch No Time to Die. I'm a perfectionist. Even though Sean Connery films have nothing to do with No Time to Die, I got to watch them all to, like, you know, see all the homages and like wink winks throughout the film. I feel like to properly appreciate No Time to Die, you have to watch everything. That's just how I'm built. I'm weird like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not excited because I'm not a huge Bond fan of all the ones I've seen, but I have heard Daniel Craig is amazing in these films. I've heard the new ones are really good and I'm getting to them soon. I haven't seen any of the Craig films. I actually own three of them. So I'm just waiting until I finish the other ones before I get to it. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure it's going to be good. I'm not hating on it, but it would not be my top 20. I'm more excited for Princess Diane.
Black Widow, are you excited for that?
Not really, but I'm gonna watch it, so it doesn't really matter. But yeah, I'm not really excited. I'm kind of done getting hyped, at least for the MCU. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm gonna watch them all, but none of them are gonna make me lose my mind, except for the new Spider-Man movie, if the rumors are true. Because the OG Spider-Man films were my childhood. I guess we're learning a lot about my childhood. Jurassic Park, Dodgeball, and the Spider-Man Sam Raimi films. I loved those movies as a kid. So if the rumors are true, I will lose my mind through that film. And so I'm excited for that one. That's like the only MCU film in this phase that, like, I'm actually excited for. Like, the rest of them I think are going to be good. I think I'm going to have a good time. But yeah, Spider-Man's the only one that's making me, like, lose my mind.
Are you not excited for The Eternals, directed by Chloe Zhao? That's the one I'm really excited for. And then
I'm with you. I think a lot of the hype lately has got me excited for it. Like, I'll be honest with you. A month ago, if you were like, oh, Quentin, rate the 5 upcoming Marvel films. There's 5, right? Or is there 4 that are coming out this year?
I don't know.
There's a lot coming. Prepare, guys. But if you told me to rate them, I would have put Eternals last a month ago. But because of the hype I've been getting, because I love Chloe Zhao, I am really excited for it. It's definitely my second favorite that's coming out this year, like Ghost Spider-Man, then Eternals. Like, I am excited to see how the film goes out. But yeah, I'm still not, like, losing my mind for it. I know it's going to be good. I know it's going to be great. So I'm very excited to see it, but I'm not, like, losing my mind to watch it right now.
Mm-hmm. I've got a bunch here. I'm just going to close down on, because I feel like our listeners could be worrying out. I'm just fearing for them. I'm just going to go over the ones that I think that you're probably most interested in. Let me get rid of that. I'm going to go with the more, that one, get rid of that. Keep that.
Well, what are the 3 that you're most excited for? What are, like, the 3 2021 films that you're really excited to see?
That are coming out soon. For me, it is, In the Heights. I'm really excited for The Green Knight. I'm also really excited for, and Dear Evan Hansen's another one I'm really excited for, even though Ben Platt looks kind of old. I mean, if I just forget that he's old, I mean, I kind of see it, but also, you know, he's still like 28 and he looks like he's 28, but right. You know, those are the ones I'm really excited for. What are the ones that come to mind that you're really excited for? I do want to ask about like 4 more, and then, yeah. And then we could probably just wrap it up.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. Yeah, we can go through 4 more.
Are you excited for In the Heights?
I'm not necessarily, because I'm not a big musical guy. I guess we're going to keep making me, like, get all your fans to hate me. But I don't like music. I'm not a musical person. Maybe that's why Emperor's New Groove is my favorite Disney film, because there's no music in it. But I just don't like listening to songs. And so musicals are like a genre I'm not stoked about. But I will say, despite it being like my least favorite genre, because I just don't like listening to music, it's too like, you know, like poppy and in your face and loud. I'm like an old guy, like on his balcony, like, kids, get off my lawn with your loud songs. I don't want to listen to it. No, that's pretty much me. But of the musicals this year, In the Heights is definitely the one I'm the most excited for. Like, I'm way more excited for that than I am for West Side Story or Annette or whatever else there is. I do think that In the Heights will be pretty good.
Are you excited for the next big film that's coming out, Cruella, the new Disney live action adaptation? Are you excited for that?
Yeah, Disney's done a good job, you know, making me change my mind, because I wasn't excited for Eternals a month ago, but now I'm pretty excited for it. I think it'll be good. And I was not excited for Cruella really at all. I really like Emma Stone, but that doesn't matter to me. I was not excited for this, but the reviews are out from critics, and apparently this is going to be really good. And my tune has changed. I am actually pretty excited for it. I still don't love the runtime. It's over 2 hours. Don't love it, but I am pretty excited. I actually do think it'd be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And then are you excited for The Tragedy of Macbeth?
Oh, baby, you know I am. That's number one for me. There's days where I just sit there and I think, man, I cannot wait for the day when this bad boy comes out. I am so excited for it. It's the next Coen film. Frances McDormand, who's my favorite actress of all time, is Lady Macbeth, who, when I was in school, I always loved Lady Macbeth. I thought she was such a cruel, evil villain. She was so amazing, and I love her. I love... you know, horrible people, because I don't know, maybe something is wrong with me, but I always thought Lady Macbeth was great. And so Frances McDormand, who's my favorite, playing an amazing character in a Coen movie, you know I'm stoked. I can't wait.
And then finally, are you excited for PTA's next film? So far it's titled Soggy Bottom. I think that's going to change. Are you excited for that?
I'm pretty excited for it. Like, it's, I'm definitely very excited for it. I think it's probably in my top 10 for most anticipated. I think it's going to be very interesting. I hope they don't change it, though. I'll be less interested if they change the name, because come on, hear me out, Michael. How amazing would it be if in a year's time we have the Academy going and the winner for Best Picture is Soggy Bottom? That's hilarious. Like, don't tell me that's not hilarious. So I really hope they don't change it. I want to keep it. That's so funny to me.
Yeah, well, I think that's it. If you want to talk about anything else, just you have the floor. But if not, then I think we can wrap up right here.
For sure. One more movie I want to talk about is French Dispatch. Very, very excited for that one. Because, you know, Grand Budapest is my favorite film of all time. And it looks gorgeous. It looks great. So that's the second one that I'm really excited for. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, that's pretty much it on my end. That's 2021 in the books.
All right. It was great having you on, Quentin. Thank you so much for joining me.
No, it was great. Great talking to you, Michael. This is way better than what I was planning on doing with my time. I was going to watch Saw 5, so this is way more exciting.
Oh, are you going to watch Diving Bell soon?
yeah. I think we're watching that tonight, but don't quote me on that. We'll have to see.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I just got it from the library. I picked it up on the way home, so I do have it with me. So I think we're watching it. If not today, we will tomorrow. We'll see it soon.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining me, Quentin.
No, thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure being here.
All right. I'll see you later.
All right. Bye.
Thank you all for listening. Next week, we'll be bringing on Siegel. If you have a Letterboxd account, you know who he is. He's great. I'm excited to hear from him. He's got some great opinions. And after that, I'll be back to being by myself. And then next week, I'm going to bring on another guest. His name is Sam. And then after that, we're going to bring all the guests we've had on recently for a big special episode. But until we get everything figured out, I'm just going to be recording episodes by myself. I'll be making sure it is a weekly thing. So, yeah, that's about it. Those are the plans for now. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed, and if you did, be sure to be on the lookout for more episodes in the future. I think we're done here. So please, step out of my office.